Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I'm staying up too late. That's what people say. I got Shake nothing in my brain. Ba-bow, bow. Nothing in my brain.
Are you a Swiftie, Mitch?
No, it's not a Swiftie, Mills. It's a Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay. Oh, my goodness.
I'm staying up too late. But it's actually a good song.
Yeah, I didn't mind that song. That's the, I think that's the only Taylor Swift song I actually know. But no, maybe. I'm sure there's others.
Yeah.
But, yes, there's been a lot of Taylor Swift talk.
Shake it off.
At the moment.
Broke Spotify, seemingly.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go.
180 million downloads.
The first day.
It's a lot.
Part two of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I love talking about this stuff.
Do you?
I really do. I love talking about stuff that relates to me because I feel like I'm talking to myself. And as I'm teaching it, I'm learning it. And we teach what we most need to learn, you know, 99% of the time. Otherwise, I'm perfect, really. But, no, we definitely teach what we most need to learn. So I love talking about this because I think this has been something that I've needed to look at and deal with a lot myself and just figuring out what actually is going on helpful. And so that's actually where we're going to start today. So, you know, yes, last time we talked about how to know what to look for and then we also talked about what a boundary is. But as in not how to know what to look for, like how do you know you might have an issue with boundaries and what boundaries are. This time I want to start by talking a little bit about what you have to pay attention to and how do you know what moments are defining of boundaries, you know, and what boundaries you need. So the first thing I'll say about that is that you have to pay attention to when you have an uncomfortable feeling. Because when you have an uncomfortable feeling, that will reveal what need isn't being met.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have a discomfort of guilt, you have a discomfort of resentment, frustration, but all of those things equal in some way, shape or form an unmet need.
Right.
So the discomfort that we feel in any moment, right, let's say somebody – you're in a room and somebody says something completely inappropriate, right, and you know that it's not the right thing to say, but you're not okay with it and you don't stand up and you don't say something about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens inside of you is you feel uncomfortable, right? You're feeling like, I don't know, frustrated at yourself. Maybe you're feeling resentful about something. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something, whatever. So that there is an unmet need. Now, that need that you're looking for might be unmet by you or it might be unmet by somebody else.
Uh-huh.
But it's not about anybody changing anything. It's just about being aware that there's something there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good indication that there's a boundary not being put in place. So I'll give an example. Remember that time we were down south and Lexi was sitting on my lap, just not long ago, a few months ago.
Right.
6 months ago, not even. And he said something inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the guy said something inappropriate?
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't say anything. All I did is go silent.
Right.
That was me not honouring a boundary.
Right.
I should have just gone. I should have said something there. It was an unmet need for me to not say something and step up. And particularly I felt that I wasn't saying something. Part of me did it so that I didn't make a fuss about it.
Right.
Another part of me did it because I didn't really know what to say. I didn't know who this guy was. And I should have just gone in and said, that's not an appropriate thing to say in this scenario. Yeah. I'd appreciate if you don't say anything like that again.
Yeah.
He was drunk at the time, but it wasn't the point. It was the point. The point wasn't him. The point was me not saying anything. And as a result, what happened was I went silent.
Right.
And I didn't speak to him properly for the rest of the night, whereas if I had said that, I wouldn't have done that.
Yes. Yet.
Does that make sense? Like that's
how
I behaved in that way because I didn't honour a boundary for myself, right? Yeah. So the discomfort of whatever it is, it's an unmet need. The thing is, I said it in the last podcast, but it's worth repeating. We're talked out of our boundaries, right? We don't – like we don't grow up with boundaries. There are times, like I think that you and Ange and how you handle your kids is very different to how we were brought up, right?
Yeah.
But as a general rule, kids give up their boundaries at an early age, right? You're thinking about classrooms, you think about how you're made to show up as a kid. We allow a certain level of discomfort to please other people, to please the teacher, to please the parent, etc., right? So it's a learned behaviour. So what you have to do is kind of unlearn that behaviour. And the way you unlearn that behaviour is to acknowledge what makes you uncomfortable and therefore what needs aren't being met. So you've got to find the need in the discomfort. So what happens for us as adults, instead of interrogating the discomfort, we numb it.
Right.
So instead of going, why am I uncomfortable here? What's going on? We go, let's eat some food. Let's make a joke.
Yeah.
Let's drink some alcohol. Let's do something so we don't have to feel this discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we deal with not having boundaries is we numb those boundaries in whatever
way. And I think as much as we may have touched on it before, the thing you're trying to avoid by not having the boundary, you're always getting.
100%.
So it's about being in control of how that comes to you and having knowing that, yes, I'm in control of how this has come to me and I'm in control of the responsibility of how I respond to it, like we said, but also I'm not in control of how you respond to it. That doesn't mean I don't have compassion and empathy for you, but I'm not in control of how you're responding to...
I'm not responsible for
it. Are in control of how you're responding to these behaviours, you know? And, yeah.
Well, that's an important part to remember. So... you can't control how people feel about your boundaries, but you create safety in your relationships when you set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you set a boundary, people then don't feel like they understand where your line is. So it creates a sense of safety because they're not – like they're not getting attacked, they're not getting resentment thrown at them, they're not getting blamed for something because you've taken responsibility for your line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So when that your responsibility in the relationships is creating that safety by setting the boundary.
Yeah.
And Brené Brown talks about the fact that the most boundaried people actually have the most compassion because what they do is they can demonstrate that compassion for themselves and therefore they show other people how to treat them as well, right? So the setting boundaries, the first thing I think that people need to do is set boundaries with themselves because it's very difficult to expect another person to honor your boundaries when you don't know what your boundary is yourself, right? So here's some examples of how to set boundaries, right? We'll blame our boss because we spend too much time at work, but we won't set the boundary to leave work on time.
Yeah.
Right? We will get upset with ourselves about drinking too much, but we don't set a boundary with ourselves of knowing when's the time to stop, right? We get annoyed that people are interfering on our space, but we have our phone on us all the time and we're always answering the phone. We don't set a boundary with not answering the phones at certain times. Like my phone automatically is set to go on do not disturb. And at certain times, like in the mornings, people can't get through to me because it's my phone, even though I sometimes am using my phone, it doesn't alert me to a message coming through or whatever because it's set on do not disturb. And in the evenings, it's the same, or when I'm doing certain things at work, it's the same because I'm clear about in that time, I'm putting my focus here. So you get resentful about, you know, people interrupting you, but you don't set a boundary on your time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to take responsibility for that first. Going to bed at a certain time, you know, getting exercise in, whatever it is that you need to set the boundaries for, you need to listen to what you need first.
Because
if you don't listen to what you need first and give yourself that first, how is anybody going to know how to treat you? Does that make sense?
But I also think it's wise to have people hold you accountable to your boundaries. Because I think, accountability is one of the greatest forms of compassion for people.
Yep.
Is when I know someone has compassion for me when they hold me accountable to my boundaries, Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody, but having someone who's close to you that say, this is my boundary, I need you to hold me accountable to that. Yeah. I need you to make sure I'm fucking leaving work on time.
Yeah.
I need you to make sure, you know, when I say I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to fucking do it.
Can I, do you remember the funny example of your boundary, Mitch? Like
no.
you said to me one time, you had your, what's it called? What's your favourite breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
French toast. You had your French toast and you were like, Mills, Mary, do you need to tell me next time when I go to order French toast that I probably shouldn't be ordering French toast, yeah. right? And so the next time.
You guys are fucking have no compassion.
No,
for me.
The next time I said, Mitch, remember about the French toast? You went to order it. And I said, remember you probably shouldn't be ordering that. Remember you? And you went, you didn't get to tell me what I'm ordering. I'm like, hang on a second. You actually asked me.
I think you've screwed that story.
I don't give a shit what you eat. I'm trying to hold a place for you here and you're like, eat what you want. It's okay. Yeah.
Fuck you, Mill. Tell me what I'm going to eat.
You were like, you're like, nobody gets between me and my French toast.
No one gets between me and my French toast. What the fuck is wrong with you? Don't tell me what I'm going to eat.
And anyway, in that moment, I said, this is not my boundary, it's yours. And you went, okay, yep, go. Oh, all right. And then you ordered something else. And the next time, what did you go to order?
I don't know. French toast.
Yeah. And I haven't said a word
but
since.
But they do the best French toast.
They do the best French toast. Because I never have it because I don't like sweet for breakfast. But you seem to like
it. Well, it's not actually sweet.
It's sweet enough.
It's fucking anyway. Like a let's big get back to it. Plate of sugar. What the
big
fuck?
Plate of sugar. Okay, so the other thing then is how do you communicate your boundaries? And I think this is very key.
I think it's things like, bitch, that is my fucking boundary. Do not ask you. Ass is leaving work at 5:30. Fuck you.
No, I'll give you
6:30.
I'll give you the hot tip. The key to setting and communicating your boundary, other than communicating in values and being compassionate and stuff, is that you never ask, you always make a statement.
Right.
You never say, is it okay if I leave work?
Yeah.
You say, I'm leaving work at 2:30. If there's anything you need to make sure you let me know beforehand.
Yeah.
That's setting a boundary. It's being clear and it's a statement, not a question.
Mm.
So I had somebody else recently.
Why doesn't that work for you with me?
What do you mean?
Because every time I got to leave at 2:30, that's when you go, oh, I have all these things I need to talk to you about.
I'll tell you why.
No, dude, I got to go pick up the kids.
I tell you why.
No, but I have all these things I've kept until the end of the day to deliver them to you. And they're very important. They are the be all and end all of this company.
You always say that I do that. But if perhaps.
You know you do it.
No, I don't do that deliberately. I'll tell you what happens. You
have I not communicated my fucking band? Go on.
Do you want me to communicate or not?
Yeah, go.
Okay. So it's the way your tone, right, is you being defensive of your boundary, which is exactly the next thing I'm going to say.
Ooh, okay.
So
my tone should be Amelia.
No.
Amelia.
No. Don't be like that. Okay. So you can't be defensive of boundaries. So if you're defensive of boundaries, it's because you perceive someone can take something off you. And so instead of defending it, you're just doing it. So you, every single time, you think I'm going to push back, but that's because you never forward think, Mitch. Just this is a little side thing. And Kirby is giving an acknowledgement of a nod that's acknowledging my truth, the truth in that. You never forward think. You always think in the moment, right? So what happens is because you know and you look at the time and you see it's 20, you know, 2:30 and you've got to go, you get defensive about it. You tar me with the brush of somebody who's going to pull back on that. Therefore, it happens because you've communicated in a way that's defensive. You also know that you have at least a 10-minute leeway in there. So, but the way you do it is defensive, and so every time you're going to get pushback. The times where you're not defensive, that doesn't happen, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
So being defensive of boundaries is not a good way to communicate it. Being clear and making sure that people understand, like if something that you think is going to affect other people, you let them know in advance. Now, this is something that people know in advance, but it's the way that it happens for me anyway. It's defensive. Anyway, so setting a boundary is a statement. It's not a question. It's you don't have to prove that you're worthy of having needs. So this is one of the biggest issues with boundaries, is that people don't own their desires.
Right.
And they don't want to own their desires and their needs, mm-hmm. right? And as a result of that, they find it difficult to communicate what their desires and needs are.
Right.
So when that's why it's important to start doing it for yourself before you expect other people to do it. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't hold that line, then nobody else is going to hold that line for you. Do you know what I mean? No one else is put on this earth to hold the line of your boundaries. It's really good, like you said, to have an accountability buddy, mm-hmm. to someone that can go, hey, this is something
you said you weren't going to do that anymore.
Yeah, so is this, are you crossing a boundary here? But at the end of the day, the responsibility is only on you, right? Yeah. So when you speak your boundaries, you're clarifying what you're responsible for and what they're responsible for. So that absolves you from the responsibility of making the world okay. You don't have to make the world okay with your boundary, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to speak from a point of view of, this is where I sit. This is what's important to me. This is what I'm saying no. This is me saying yes, or whatever it happens to be. Understanding and being clear with it, making it a statement and not a question, and then understanding that, even communicating, I understand that this is going to ruffle your feathers a bit, or I understand that that might not be something that you would want for me, but I'm going to do this. This is something I'm going to do mm-hmm. anyway, right? I have to communicate that. Some of the stuff I have to communicate with my family like that, because I know that there's going to be pushback on certain things, but I also know that this is where my line is. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So yep. sometimes I'll acknowledge that I get that you might not be okay with that, but I'm okay with it, so mm-hmm. we're okay. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But I do that with compassion. I'm not doing it to go, well, fuck you, mm-hmm. da-da-da, because that's just defensive, right? Yeah, so. Make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So you're only being responsible for your own experience. You're not being responsible for anybody else's experiences. So we think our job is to make everybody be okay. So let me give you an analogy. It was a great analogy. I read it in Glennon Doyle's Untamed. So it's a great book for women in particular, right? What she talks about, so just as a backstory, she was married to a man who had cheated on her, and she tells the story of falling in love with a woman, right? And the woman is Abby Wambach, who wrote Wolfpack, and she fell in love with her, and she... It all turned out that she left her husband, moved in with her, right, mm-hmm. with her partner. Her mum was very against the whole gay thing, right? Right. And the family now are together, like her ex-husband and the not together. They're together in the fact that they co-parent beautifully. Right, there's no animosity between them. They're all, you know, obviously that they had that, but the issue she was describing was her mum having an issue with them and the relationship. And she describes it in one of the chapters of the book, I think the chapter's called Islands, that they created a scenario where they had to picture, Abby explained it to her, that they had to picture that they were on an island, and nobody got let onto the island unless they were in alignment. Like, it was her choice to whether the mum would come in or not. And she said the biggest conversation I had with my mum was telling her she wasn't allowed on my island mm-hmm. until she was okay with this, because if she wasn't, she was going to bring fear into the scenario, and if that fear was there, then that was going to impact everyone. So her boundary was was saying that to her mum. She said it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, because mm-hmm. it's always harder to set a boundary with people you love than people you don't, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so the point is that we think it's our job to make everyone on our island love and respect us.
Right.
But it's instead of that, it's not letting them on your island until they do.
Right.
And
right.
That's where boundaries, and Glennon explained that, and I thought that's a really
very good
analogy. Yeah, it's like just not letting them on their island until mm-hmm. they do. Mm-hmm. So when they do, then you're allowed freely here, but this is the conditions upon which you can be in my space.
Does that make sense?
No one has got, no one has the right to have unlimited access to you. You're allowed that space, and you allow people in based on, you know, what you allow and what you don't allow.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to think about it, I think, anybody who wants to think about creating boundaries is thinking about, well, what are your non-negotiables? What's okay, what's not okay? Do you know what I mean? What are the things that are your non-negotiables? And at the end of the day, everybody is already adapting to the boundaries you don't set. They can just as easily adapt to the boundaries you do.
That's a good point.
They're already adapting to the boundaries you don't set. They can just as easily adapt to the boundaries that you do. So the key for me is that, okay, well, what are the boundaries? And I've had to do this exercise a little bit in the last few weeks. Like, it was really great sharing this information with the group, because it was like, okay, it was a reminder of, okay, what's okay, what's not okay, and what's one boundary? And it's not about trying to do it all at once,
right?
It's about figuring out, okay, what's one boundary and what's one thing that I have to be truthful to and stick to? Can I just say one more thing, actually? I know I've spoken a lot, but one more thing. People can be over-boundaried, and by over-boundaried, they can have boundaries in things that are detrimental to them. Do you know what I mean? And keep them stuck as well. And they can be over-boundaried, and that over-boundaried is a defensive mechanism as well. So you do have to watch that. It's not about being like so boundaried up that there's this massive wall around you and nobody can get in. It's about understanding the I suppose, the finesse of what to look for, what not to look for, and what's important and what's not important. Do you know what I mean? Because there's some boundaries that, you know, can go. Do you know what I mean? They're not really aligned to your truth. Maybe they're aligned to your parents' truth. And you do have to manage and monitor that. But I think the more that you recognize what your boundaries are, or the more that you can allow the discomfort in those moments and ask questions about the discomfort instead of numb the discomfort, you will start to understand what your boundaries are.
I think it's important, though, to share with everybody how you articulate a boundary to a person, because you can't just go, that's my boundary, that's you know, that's one of my values, I have a boundary around that. You have to be able to explain. Like, I know, like, one of the things I love is every Friday I go for a ride with the guys, right? Not every Friday, but most Fridays I'll go for a ride with the guys, and for me that's very important for my mental health. It's very important for my camaraderie. And so anybody trying to challenge that or say, hey, I don't want you to do that, how would you suggest someone would articulate that boundary?
The reason that you feel someone would challenge you is because you think that they can take it off you. The moment you realize that they can't take it off you, they won't challenge you.
So if you're like,
this is why I think part of the reason you think that maybe I'm challenging you at the end of the day or whatever, or even the bike ride, right? If you think in one way, shape or any way, shape or form that Ange could say something that would make you not go on the ride, that's when you become defensive, and that's when you would communicate it in a way that's defensive.
So I'm talking about then the way in which I articulate that to Ange is I tell her how important that is for my well-being as a person.
Yes.
And why it's important to me.
And now, because you're in a relationship, right, it will be, Ange, I want this to be a standing thing on a Friday night. But if for any reason I can't do that on a Friday night, I would like to know in advance so that I can rearrange it, so that I can do something else, so I can do it on a different day if I need to. But for the most part, I want to be doing this on a Friday.
But that doesn't really explain to her why.
No, that's a different conversation. You would actually have to explain to her. That's a conversation about communicating your value and what it actually means to you and what it gives you. So therefore, you're making a statement that on Friday nights, that's what you want to do. That's what you're going to do, not you're wanting. You're not asking. You're going to do. And then.
But for an example with me, is that in communicating that to Ange, if she doesn't see that her boundary is not being met or her value is not being met, then if she goes, but you know, I've got the kids, blah, 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 on Friday night, blah, 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 blah. I had the example today. I was like, I understand that you feel as if you have Oliver after school on a Friday night, but I'll take him Monday morning, or I'll take him Saturday morning, and I'll take him all day Saturday. I take him all day Sunday. and I hang out with them, you know. So then she can feel, okay, yeah, you're meeting my value, you're understanding
100%
my boundary, and now I appreciate and I understand your boundary, and I excuse me, and we understand that we have those boundaries around non-negotiables.
Correct. So I think that in a relationship, there's got to be a little bit of room for give and take, in the sense of your timing with certain things and whatever. The boundary is probably there. It's probably less about the writing and more about the communication between the two of you, so that you feel like you're sharing an equal balance of time with the kids, time away from the kids, and time together.
It sounds
like less of a boundary about the bike riding and more of a boundary about what do you guys need between you to communicate your actual needs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that the key there is, like, if you're starting to get kickback from that, I think it's about you being clear about it's not about you being putting a line in the sand. When you're putting a line in the sand, it's a totally different thing, because you're being anything crosses that, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But when you can be clear and articulate about your boundary, no one will want to cross it. But if there needs to be a negotiation because you're in a partnership, then it's about the boundary is about how do you communicate how I see it.
Yeah.
There's lots to do. Like even now as I'm talking, I'm like, okay, what's the next boundary perhaps? Not boundary, but what's the next need that I feel is coming up that needs to be met that I'm not allowing myself to meet, and therefore need to create a boundary around, you know? But I think it's a good conversation. I'm glad we got to finally have it. We've been meaning to do this podcast for a while.
Cool.
Good.
Loved it. Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.